This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora and welcome to Free Left Turner, Left Wing Perspective here on 89.0 Independent Community Media. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mick. Warmer
this morning.
Compared to Wednesday and Thursday, I was thinking it's almost balmy.
Two
mornings I woke up and I got a bottle of my landlady's got vacuum for sucking up the condensation on the windows. And it wasn't moving. And I looked closer and it was ice on the inside.
Jeez. That's bloody cold.
I was wearing gloves indoors. That's how cold it was.
It was bitter. I noticed one morning this week, it was about a quarter inch, old-fashioned thinking, about 8 mils or 5 mils on the wheelbar, the ice on the water. And yesterday it was even thicker. It was nearly double. And on that, I've got a bird feeder and the turries. I thought, what are they doing? They're just sort of hanging around and they were sort of tapping. And I thought, what's going on? And I suddenly figured out it was frozen. And that's 5 feet off the ground.
It's very cold. Somebody wanted to have access to the Taraba Sports Dome at work.
Yeah.
Because we're in our new building, and we still have access because we have the swipe to open the door.
Yeah.
Went around, I told him initially you should ask council for that because council access council building. But I said, I'll try my swipe. So I wandered around there, and hell, that's bloody cold.
Yeah.
That's worse than anything else. It's completely out of the sun, and it was...
I had my brother over from Queensland for a week visiting your mum and
wouldn't
all that.
The difference.
And he was sort of, you know, his flight was 5:30 on Tuesday and, you know, about 1 o'clock, he said, I think I might just go to the airport.
Get warm.
And I had a heat pump on, but he struggled the whole week, you know. It was just...
Too cold for you,
Copper. Yeah. and he's a Kiwi, originally, but he's certainly acclimatised now,
Yeah, definitely. No short pants.
But all jokes aside, it's actually quite good for gardeners and all that, because a bite really sort of resets all the nature and all that, the frost, etc.
Kills off the bugs, eh?
There's a bit of truth in that and all that. But it's been quite dry, so I don't know what the water table's doing.
Because you look at your lawn and your grass has grown. Oh, no.
I haven't had to mow the lawns for a little while. Even though I've got an arc and most of my lawns are free range.
But I noticed that the water level was up in the river when we came through town this morning, so it must be
water around.
Hydropower generate the power because people want the heat.
They need to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is definitely not the Danube and the Rhine.
That's real sticky. I think I was saying before we go on radio that the Rhine's down, so that they've got a lot of traffic, but not just cruise ships, but barges transporting cargo. And it's on down to a trickle because the water level's so bad. And I found a marker, I think it's 2 years ago, and it's pretty shown up again. I found a marker dated 1700 or something, where the water level had dropped to that level, so this mark has reappeared.
Yeah.
Over 200 years.
But from a nature point of view, imagine the pollution in some of these rivers in the UK. There's no flow of water.
They've discovered water in the sewage.
Yeah. Well, I imagine Nigel Farage would be able to walk across the surface of the water in some of those rivers, because there's only going to be poos and wee's in it.
It's going to be pretty viscous.
Yeah. But on a positive, with my archaeological hat on, is, of course, when you get really dry periods, it's great for now drones, used to be helicopters, etc., aerial photography, because then they can look it up, find old ruins, you know. So and they really stand out. You know, dry lawn, if you've got somewhere where there's something, it always is a bit drier first.
Well, they had a case in Italy a couple of years ago when they had drought, and a village that had been drowned for a dam site reappeared.
Yeah.
That's how much the water dropped.
So,
they're now talking about food shortages in the UK because it's been declared drought in Wales and the bottom half of the UK.
And a reporter
talking to his farmer, and it's just a dust bowl.
I did see that.
It's just unbelevable.
It's so long a period because normally
8 weeks.
Normally UK is a short hot summer, but short.
But this has been baking for 8 weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fires are still continuing on the continent. So yeah.
Mm.
Of course, the downside is when they do eventually get some rain, it's just going to be flooding.
Yeah.
Well,
the ground will be baked. You need about 8 weeks of just slow drizzle,
that's what
you need, but you won't get it.
No, that's what my father used to say.
Yeah, it was always the worry. It's dry and you need a downfall, it just floods.
So it's not a myth at all, climate change.
No. Well, it's certainly,
people are still in denial, still refuse,
and they still won't vote on it.
No.
No,
they
still won't vote
on it. It's terrible. It's terrible, but they turn around and say, "Well, you would think the environmental parties that have big environmental messages would grow in these circumstances."
And you think it might be an opportunity for bipartisanship?
Yeah, little bit of connectivity, but it seems it doesn't go in.
No, it goes in one ear and doesn't go any further.
So
be careful what you wish for when it comes to the weather.
Yes. We need this long, hot summer so we can go to the beaches.
Well, there seems to be that sort of level.
And
it's in New Zealand as well.
Yeah, we know that,
You know, we go, you know, that we're so hunting for production and all this. Everyone's forgetting the purposes of a swamp has a purpose in nature, you know. But
well, if you're getting droughts like worldwide, I mean, that's going to impact on the food supplies.
Generally,
the prices of food is going to go skyrocket.
And countries that are poor.
They did an article on Ukraine. Mm. They've got storage of 800 metric tons of wheat, which you can't move because the shipping's interrupted. Room for another 20 metric tons, and then they run out of room. So this farmer has had to improvise. They look like giant polythene sausages, and they can hold 20 tons of grain.
Okay.
It's only a temporary measure.
Okay.
They've got to get the grain out.
Otherwise it sweats.
Yeah. Well, it just rots.
So,
again, impact environment, food prices will go up because grain will go up.
And if you get lower rivers, when the Russians and the Ukrainians are having this fight, those barriers become...
paddle across.
Yeah, you know, does that all apply as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so...
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
But the pollution must be
horrendous. It would be, because a lot of major cities on those major rivers.
Yeah, still the same number of people, so we're still doing the business.
Yeah, aren't we? Yeah. I won't be standing downwind from that. I'll tell you that.
You'll be talking about.
We had that experience at work this week.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah,
okay. What do you got there, Mick?
This is an article. This appeared a wee while ago, but we've got to talk about honesty. And this is you guys would have got a message from Senior Services.
I believe so.
There were several items. One was about the election. I tried to read it, but my email was obscured by bloody advertising. So I ended up going to the Electoral Commission and clicked on a page called Key Dates. And it lists all the dates from the time the Prime Minister announced the election would be in November, when back in January. And... this article goes back to Labour's concerned about enrolment changes under fire. Labour leader Chris Hipkin, this was dated Wednesday, July the 22nd. Labour leader Chris Hipkin doesn't think the Electoral Commission is doing enough to enrol voters ahead of a controversial change to voting laws at this year's election. Voters will no longer be able to vote or update their enrolment on election day. So this gets back to this email I got with various dates. And like on the election dates, the 7th, Saturday, the 7th of November, election polls start open at 9 o'clock till 1900 hours. Overseas voting starts on the 21st of October. Sunday for general voting, you could, the cut-off point is the 25th of October, and then voting starts on the 26th, which is advanced voting, or electoral, or early voting, or overseas voting. And the Māori rolls closed on the 6th of August. But if people haven't got those dates, if you go to the Electoral Commission website and click on key dates, you'll get all the information chronologically.
And that same, does it have that about, you were just saying, coming into town, the Labor government, the Labor Party's stolen a march on the Nats by, it's got a lot of their advertising up. Billboards.
Yeah, well, the billboards are up now and they have to be down by midnight the 6th of November.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to,
But it's quite a long period, isn't it? Because it's only August, so we've got August, September. When's the election?
7th of November.
So that's 3 months. It seems to be an awfully long period that you're allowed to advertise for.
Yeah, because I've seen one Labor billboard, or two Labor billboards.
We've seen a few Labor billboards.
We've probably seen seven this morning.
Just to turn into our street,
But it seems that what I'm getting at is it's a long period of 3 months or whatever.
Of course. It used to be 6 weeks or something.
I said it was a shorter period. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I didn't pay any attention. I don't know.
I think it has been 3 months.
Yeah it seems to be very long.
But the important thing is people need to check their details on the electoral roll.
Make
sure they are eligible. But of course, they're saying that he's claiming that people will arrive on election day not having updated their details and then having their ballots discounted.
And that's a form of it's a form of voter suppression, really, because guess who it's going to affect the most?
The poor.
People are uneducated who have what do you call it, literacy skill?
This year, the Electoral Commission estimates that 55,000 votes could be disallowed. Because people haven't updated there. It seems that estimated around 73,000 people could have their electric votes discounted, i.e. the constituent MP they're voting for, but their party votes will be counted.
Oh, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I tried to... I don't understand the... You either can vote... Or you can't vote.
Yeah, it seems weird, doesn't it?
Yeah, but anyway, in a few weeks they'll be sending out 3.6 million those envelopes with details and check your details, voting, blah, blah, blah. So in a few weeks' time, but...
they do spend quite a lot of money. Like it's 100 million to do the election.
Of course, they've also recently upgraded the Electoral Commission. They've tinkered around with the voting system and papers and qualifications and... But democracy does cost money.
Yeah. Speaking of that, can we just drift into who's the current Prime Minister now? What's his name? suggesting there could be an MMP, a referendum. If they get back in. What do you guys think?
I think he should leave well alone.
Yeah, I think we have a MMP is compared to...
And his party's actually benefited from the system.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah, you know.
So why tinker around with it? It gets back to, as you suggested, disenfranchisement.
Yeah.
There's a danger about it. The bottom line is, and I personally would push for even lesser than the 5% threshold. I personally think it should...
That's been discussed.
It was recommended to go down to 4 or 3.
They weren't obliged to...
And the politicians didn't accept it.
But I think
if you really believe in democracy, if you've got 100 seats and you get 1% of the vote, that's your seat.
That ties in with another article I came across on August the 5th, and this is about the... You were talking about this before, about the census every 5 years.
A
law change that would do away with the traditional 5-year census in favour of cheaper and... This is what annoyed... Cheaper annual surveys, that smokes, that stinks, is unlikely to progress this side of the election.
Yeah, they don't do census anymore already, do they? They canned the last one.
The hiatus raises the question over how Stats New Zealand will be able to comply with the law, given that it has indicated it would then be too late to conduct the census due in the normal way in 2028.
So we're in a hiatus rather than... We haven't actually officially stopped it.
No, it hasn't gone away. It's been put off. Yeah. All after. Yeah, the Data and Statistics Amendment Bill would have removed the requirement for Statistics New Zealand to attempt to count everyone in the census. So the subject hasn't gone away.
No.
No.
We've already discussed his idea about MMP. Do we do away with it?
Mm. Yeah, so I go back just on that. Yeah.
When they did try it, 12 years after MMP came in, there was a Royal Commission and there was a review.
There was a referendum.
To keep it.
And we did.
And we decided we wanted to keep it.
Yeah. And I go back, the big argument is, I don't particularly like some of these governments we've got, but have we had unstable governments?
No.
So we've had MMP. It means that virtually everyone's vote counts, which doesn't happen in a lot of first-past-the-post systems.
Yeah.
So stable governments, rightly or wrongly, it works. So why chuck it out?
Yeah.
You know? And compared to Aussie's a bloody mess compared to ours. I used to always skite about...
They have a combination, don't they? Proportional and first-past-the-post.
And the Greens got 10 or 11% in their general election last, and they got one MP. In their general parliament, they got more in the Senate. But I just thought, hang on a minute, proportional was proportional. You know?
Yeah.
That's the idea
That's the clue in the name.
Yeah, proportional representation.
And you look at England, America, and lots of countries, if they had proportion, they'd have to have different ways of thinking, but it'd be a lot fairer system.
I can remember the old days of MP. Both the major parties, both National and Labour, were dead against it.
Oh, yeah. Didn't want to let any newcomers
Only when they read the writing on the wall and there was public... comments
on it.
They said, perhaps we better.
Yeah.
No.
I do notice some of the senior Nats have sort of kiwashed it, said, oh no, it's not really on our plan for.
We saw that.
Not for the election, but afterwards.
It hasn't really come up.
It was a comment made by Mark Mitchell. It's a classic one, though. Under his name. While other National MPs kept things murky, Luxon's police minister came through with a clear answer for the public. We are not campaigning on that, he said.
The clue is not campaigning on that.
Yeah, he was asked a question and he shared his thoughts on it. But at the end of the day, it's not. I don't feel it's that relevant to this election because it's something that he said we'll revisit and look at in the next term if we're successful at being returned.
Yeah.
We've already stated that we're not campaigning on electoral issues this election.
Yeah.
Well, I think there was one by Upston.
See, I'm on that. I think parties should come up with what's good and what's bad with the electoral system in their portfolios, to tell the people, this is how we see the voting is going all right. We need to think about
it. I just question their motives.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this is Upston.
Right.
She says
this is Louise, the one who gets the benefit
of the largesse of
government accommodation.
Said Luxon says a lot of things she doesn't know about in advance. That sounds like my work. But he is the Prime Minister, she said. That means he's out in the communities engaging with people and hearing about their big issues. That's not always MMP though.
And isn't it an underlying? There's still people, and sadly, I don't take any pride in saying this, but there's still people sort of we know from New Zealand First polling, there is a feeling that certain groups of people shouldn't really be allowed to vote. Is that behind this all? Is it a form?
Well, politicians don't do anything but serve themselves.
Well, they should be there for the people.
I'm just being cynical.
I think you do.
I just question their motives because they're not doing it for the good of the people despite their claims. It's good for them.
Yeah.
Well, on a similar note, I see Peters has been copping some more flack.
Oh, good.
Dozens contact Human Rights Commission about Foreign Affairs Minister's drives at Green MP.
Yeah.
And the same thing was that Foreign Minister Winston Peters says he would not apologise for comments that Prime Minister Christopher Luxon is condemning as racist. Peters is also refusing to detail his conversation with Luxon over the comments directed at the Green MP, Lawrence Zhu Nan, claimed it was private. It comes as Green co-leader Chloe Swarvick was ordered to leave the House by Speaker Jerry Brownlee after she accused him of double standards regarding Peters' behaviour in the debate.
Yeah.
I mean, that comment she made, that's pretty mild.
What comment did she make?
She said that she accused him of double standards.
I mean, that's what's wrong with that?
That's mild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was allowed to make the comments that he made about another MP.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, planet is this guy on, this Brownlee?
And John Minter always puts something, and to know if something's right or not, you just replace the word with someone else.
Yeah.
And he uses Palestine and Jews.
And doesn't go the same way.
And he says, well, if you don't think it's all right, if it works for, it's not good, not acceptable for one, it shouldn't be acceptable for the other.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Not exactly, not a choice of which lolly we'll pick out of the bag. But some politicians think like that. Can I just read out this letter to the editor?
Yeah.
It's in today's Herald. And it's from Leanne Pooley, O-N-Z-M. So she's got some
New Zealand
from Ponsonby. And it says, take care, Winston. If Winston Peters lands in hospital, will he tell the nurse caring for him to go back to his or her own country? That would be a disaster because our hospitals rely on overseas-trained healthcare professionals.
Yep.
And I hope he doesn't end up in a rest home. If we send all the aged care workers back to their own country, the sector will collapse. Will Winston instruct New Zealand First supporters with British accents to go back to their own country? Oh, that's right. They're not immigrants. They're expats. I came to Aotearoa, New Zealand 40 years ago, and I'm still shocked when people around me grumble about immigrants while clarifying that they don't mean me. I came from Canada, and for reasons too easily identified, I'm not considered by them to be an immigrant.
No,
fair racism, Although I'm not sure what I am beyond sad, because racist behaviour like that from our Minister of Foreign Affairs is a sad indictment indeed. And I thought that's very, very
good,
well put.
Yeah,
very well put. Because it kind of flows on to this sort of thing. It's New Zealand First.
Mm.
There's a huge appetite for new limits on standing for Parliament, says Shane Jones, as he promises New Zealand First policy.
So is that Israel
train?
First or New Zealand First?
New Zealand First.
He wants to change the criteria for people to qualify.
This is Jones first pledged to campaign on a law change after being asked for his view on party leader Peter's outburst at Green MP Jinan last week. You know, we know the story about going back to China and all that sort of stuff. You can't even speak the language. And they're talking about that kind of component.
Mm.
And sort of disqualifying you from Parliament because you don't speak the lingo.
Yeah, probably. And that's dangerous. Isn't
that's
it?
Very dangerous.
That sort of rhetoric is nasty stuff.
And it goes into the article that Junan's been here for more than 30 years.
And this is the thing. Peter Thiel came in with his millions, got citizenship, bang.
I think if they're going to go down that particular road about the limits on standing for Parliament, should there be an age restriction on who stands for Parliament?
Fair point.
We've got at least the two people that we've mentioned today, Brownlee and Peters, are over the age of 65.
Yeah, well, Winston's is he in his
80s? He's 80 this year.
I'm not demeaning people that are old. We all have opinion. We're getting older and we have opinion. But, it's type of succession. Let people stand aside. You've done your bit,
These people
go and volunteer in charities and do some
practical. But these sort of public figures don't want to give up their public kudos. They've got so used to being in the limelight, they can't cope.
I'm sure that often happens.
True. But the thing about is, and you mentioned about, because talk about MMP as well, MMP has allowed a variety of candidates, a variety of politicians come through. If we didn't have MMP, you probably wouldn't have had the likes of Lawrence Junan there or Ricardo Mendes been there. Or there'd be reduced numbers of women MPs and reduced MPs from the Pacific Islands, for example.
And
Maori, for example.
It does certainly help. So those who are marginalised, and let's face it, in the old days of the first past the post, all the rural seats were white European men, and the working class. And if you were an opposite voter to those electorates you were living in, your vote didn't count.
In the article, it suggests that Luxon doesn't want numbnuts to work with after the election.
Well, if they're elected, I'm sorry, if you're numbnuts elected, then that's how it is.
But that's his argument. Yeah. He doesn't want to work with people that he obviously can't work with.
But that's supremacy.
I know.
It's elitism and
self-entitlement.
It's up yourself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's face it, surely Parliament should represent New Zealanders. Numbnuts and all.
Well,
and to be said, it's a real, New Zealand has a racist population. There's quite a big contingent of mildly, savagely racist.
Even their views are taken into account. Democracy. Warts and all.
Yeah.
Democracy in action. Because it's slowly being
eroded.
Because we talk about the United States as a flawed democracy.
Well, it's more than flawed.
We talked about it some time ago, but it's probably now become what we call, it's heading towards complete failure status.
Mafioso. Yeah. Shall we segue into the recent election? It's been more primaries
Michigan.
In Michigan they had their primaries, and primaries, for those who don't know, primaries are to decide the candidates for which parties.
This was for the Democrat.
Yeah, and they also had the Republicans on the same day. But for the Democrats it was also like lower house. Each state in America has a house and a Senate, so they it's each state. Michigan has a Congress, and then it has a Senate, and then of course there's the federal, which is the United States of America as a whole. Yeah. It has representatives.
What was interesting was the amount of money that the other Democrat candidate had poured into her campaign.
Well, this is so the result is to top the drumbeat, of course, is Abdul Al-Sayed won it. And he would be considered, he was the, what you call the fringe voter, but he's very popular and very articulate. And he's a doctor and he's a Rhodes Scholar. So this guy's no slouch on that. Yeah. And he's done it before. He's had a go several times before for public office. Mm. And he's got a good resume because he's done it right from when he graduated. They had a thing him up and speaking about social justice when he was young, just when he graduated. But anyway, he won it, and the results were quite startling. Initially, they thought he wasn't going to win it. This is a couple of years ago, and he's gradually got more and more popular. Did the groundwork, went right through the state, knocking on doors and doing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And in the end, he narrowly beat Hayley Stevens. 48.5% of the vote, and she ended up with 47.5%.
That's very close.
That's 1%. So it was only about 15,000 to 20,000 votes in it.
The difference in the campaigns was that she had a whole pile of money poured into her campaign.
Just listening to Dr. Abdul Al Sayed, he said $70 million was thrown against him. In this campaign, and so. And he luckily got enough individual support to have enough money to do some countering. And that's what they say. In America, you can't just have no money. You've got to have enough so you
And this you is from the Democrats who claim to be progressive. And she's an ardent Israel supporter.
If you look at $70 million is about $120 million of our money.
New Zealand money.
Yeah.
And that was just to get the primary candidate for the Democratic Party.
For the same party.
The spending was...
shows you the bias, doesn't it?
She spent $90 per vote for her votes, and it was $9 per vote for him. Gee. And he still got it.
And some of the commentators were saying that the amount of money actually worked against him.
Well, in the end, he would speak and say... When this debate goes to ad, you'll see. He turned it and he said, "When they have a break, it'll be ads for my opponent." You know, he spun it around and said, "We've got to get money out of politics." And his three points, and he's going to go into the Senate elections, is because he's not a senator yet. He's still got to beat the Republican for the Senate seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So his three bastions are money out of politics, Medicare for all, and money in your pocket.
Yeah, I heard
him. And he pushes that all the time.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw him say
that. But it just shows you he nearly lost.
Yeah. And
she was a very average candidate. She was a congressman in the local house, I think, or maybe the US. But sounds a bit unhinged.
And she was an ardent Israel supporter.
Yeah.
Israel comes to her in her dreams. and they got that on tape. Ooh. And she was not just Israel comes to me in my dreams. It was Israel comes to me in my dreams. And we all it's really funny.
It sounds like the Scrooge dreams.
I'm glad that she lost because I don't think I could stand listening to the voice.
She has a screechy voice, all right. So anyway, they're playing the mick out of her for that, and that's not really fair. But it just shows you the money in politics. And everyone goes, "Well, he won, phew." But only if they put another $5 million in it, would that been enough? 15,000 votes, and it was dirty campaigning. They put in that he was a misogynist and
Islamist and all that stuff.
And they seem to be allowed to. And go back to AI, they're saying Thomas Massey, one of the reasons he lost, they did a video clip of him going into a hotel room with two women who were Democrats or something, and they'd superimposed them. You know what AI do? But they said for some older people especially, they would have believed it because they see it.
Yeah.
You know? And he lost. He got beaten by APAC money, basically. Yeah, so...
Yeah, they...
I'm surprised it was that close that she hasn't called for a recount or something.
Well, I'm a bit surprised because I thought her Masters...
I mean, the margin of error is always, 2 or 3%.
Yeah, it was only
1% between them.
Yeah, 15,000 votes isn't much at all, but it just shows you the power of money.
Mm. Yeah, but she didn't do that line, find me those votes, like Trump did in that time.
No, but I'm like you, Mick. I thought, will they say, we want to have another look at it?
Wow. They could be when they're right to ask for a recount.
But yeah.
That close.
Yeah. But it was quite interesting that Michigan has got a big industrial city.
Detroit, allegations of voter fraud and dead people voting and people voting multiple times. And
no, but President Trump's been very derogatory towards him.
Yeah.
Racism has just come out. What does he say, Craig?
He called him a shit. Basically, that's what he called him.
And they've called him a communist. And he's far from it. He's not in the Democratic Socialists of America.
No.
He has sympathies with them, but he said, I just want our money to stay in America. I don't want to give money for bombs that kill kids. Yeah.
And he wants universal healthcare.
Yeah.
He wants this for social justice.
Which we would call that very moderate human being position.
Yeah, commentators were saying that he wasn't popular amongst the Afro-American vote.
No, and that was true in Wade County, which is a big heart of African-Americans in Detroit. And he lost that, not by much, and it started off he was 20% behind.
That surprises me, because he's advocating universal health care. They would be a group of people that
the poorer you are, the more you need benefit. That. Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing was that MS, they did they sent a reporter into an electoral polling station, and it was just about to close, and he was able to talk to the very last voter, and she was an Afro-American, and he asked her, "Who did you vote for?" Al Sayed.
Generally still, the African-American vote went for Haley Stevens, which is, and a lot of Africans, especially the older population, are very conservative. We saw that with Bernie Sanders. You know, the primary, he was doing well. He went into the deep south. Who's the big? He's a big time African American sort of. I can't remember. And he was actually up in.
I know you mean. From the 60s.
Yeah, and he's still there, and he's the leader of the sort of.
Yeah, African American.
Anyway. And of course, he went out against Bernie, and Biden became the. And Bernie's done far more for African Americans than Biden ever has.
Mm-hmm.
But it just shows you they're very conservative. The leadership gives a nod towards someone. They that's what they tend to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on almost religious grounds.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember the church. You know, a lot of the older African Americans are religious, etc.
And in their church name, it's Zion.
It gives it away.
Yeah.
But of course, as you get older, I'm not particularly looking forward to it. But we gradually can't vote anymore for some reason because we're no longer there. And the young coming through, so there's a split. The younger ones are going, this is awful. We don't want our, we don't want to see pictures of people.
Because they're
going to
inherit the mess that we've made.
So that's a success, but it's not over yet because the danger is, Al-Sayed, he could get what I call conservative Democrats voting with the Republican ticket just to stop him.
Yes.
And APAC's already made mumblings about they'll support the Republican candidate.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, but the real positive thing in America, the argument about Israel is now out in the open.
Mm. Yeah.
You couldn't have said anything about Israel 5 years ago. And even when October the 7th happened, you know, everyone had a real spike in support for Israel. That's dissipated.
Mm.
Now the strongholds are in what you call the Elitesville, and they're also in the evangelical movement.
Yeah, of course.
On both sides.
That's where some of that $1 billion that Netanyahu's spending on disinformation.
Oh, of course, and let's face it, you know, if you're not particularly political and you don't check out the veracity of articles and someone...
Just go along with someone's...
Go with the flow.
And you see the advertisement, he's a racist or he's a misogynist or, you know, and people pick it up.
You
watch that space. But that's a victory for what I call the common sense and a real defeat for APAC.
Yeah.
And that money, the real interesting thing is... America votes to give money to Israel, and then some of that money comes back and is given to American political candidates who, as long as they give the nod to Israel, pro-Israel legislation, etc. So it's sort of, Americans sort of pay for it in the first place.
But more people begin to see through that facade.
Well, and they are, and that's where the real battle, because let's face it, America doesn't just provide bombs and everything else for the Israelis and the Ukrainians and other places. It provides political cover in the UN. And that's probably, if the political cover even drops by half, Israel will feel far more isolated very quickly.
Mm. Yeah, the Democrat message tended to be, when we're hearing it, that we're opposing the Republicans because they've cut Medicare, food prices have gone up, and the price of fuel's gone up. But there's no mention of this, the Israeli thing, from the Democrats. You'll hear.
Yeah, and that's what they call the Democratic establishment. So there is a bit of an argument going. Bill Clyburn is the name of that guy, the African-American leader in the Democrats. So he was the one up there. But you're dead right. There's a real argument going on in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
But I also think it's not just the Democratic Party and the left having a go at it about Israel.
Democrats as well.
It's actually on the right of the Republicans, the Tucker Carlsons, the Nick Fuentes, who's the African American woman, Candace Owens. There's quite a few on what you call the right who are social media jocks. Don't get me wrong. But they are looking at it from the right, so they're not sort of, the left has always failed to break through on the issue of Israel and its deeds. What's happened in America?
It seems to be openly supported by establishment and the Democrats.
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, the establishment Democrats were behind. They were down there pushing for Hayley Stevens.
Yeah.
Mm. They don't. Chuck Schumer has. You know, there are lots. They are still stuck in the old world of Israel's a good guy.
yeah, they're looking after our interests.
Yeah, and there's the ally thing and everything else. Well, if you have an ally like Israel these days, you wouldn't want to, you know, you don't need many enemies, do you? Because they're a poison chalice. They're becoming a poison chalice. Mm. And long may that continue until Israel changes its way.
Mm-hmm.
They learn to share. They give the Palestinians some of their land back. They can coexist beside, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And that would be a fair way. But what I'm saying, the battle is raging in America, and that's a good thing.
And then
our politicians, instead of bending the knee for America, etc., may be a bit braver to have a word with the Israeli ambassador.
Well, I can't see that happening anytime soon.
I can't see it anytime soon unless America changes.
The only reason they would do it is if America changed its policy.
Yeah.
Then we'd go along with it.
Then we'd go...
Because we can't think for ourselves.
No, not on foreign policy, it seems.
We're a bit dumb on that.
Mm. Yeah.
Or sycophantic.
Mm. Yeah, so that's...
Both. all of them.
All of the above, yeah. Yeah. But interesting watching that space. But also in that election, in that primary, there were people spotted at a particular polling stations, people linked to the Department of Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Looking for illegals or something.
Yeah, well, there's a fear that the midterm elections could be usurped by Trump. And he's
already making noises about.
Yeah, well, he's been. Well, he's.
Well, welcome to the police state.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's tried to get, obtain the voting records of certain people in certain state or certain states, and he's lost that count by 20-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the positive? The other big what I call was a big positive for the Democrats. They had 500,000 extra people came out and voted on the Democratic ticket, regardless whether they voted for Abdul or Haley Stevens.
Yeah.
500,000 more, so it's garnered attention. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, so Trump still got this plan of voter suppression.
Oh yeah, and they'll throw every dirty trick at the book to keep the Senate. They know they're going to lose the Congress. They're going to lose the Congress. The Republicans will lose the Congress. They only hold it by 3 now or 5 now. They didn't hold it by very much.
Yeah.
But the Senate, they hold it by 3 or 4 now.
Yeah.
And the Senate decides everything. If the Senate doesn't go yes, it won't go any further. You know?
Yeah, and that's the crux why Michigan is important. To that Senate race.
Yeah, there's just a few key seats that could change, and Michigan's one of them.
Yeah, and that's I think that one is, and
Texas has got Tallarico,
and he's popular, and he's
Christian,
a different type of Christian, I think.
I think so. We're not quite sure. The test will be when the votes come in about Israel and its weaponry, But he's definitely made the comments that Christianity shouldn't be about supporting killings, etc.
Yeah, and this is about supporting or getting back, what did he say, Lyndon B. Johnson's seat? That's what it's all about.
Yeah, so America, and don't forget, from now on, the midterms are only in November, so they're only 3 months away. Yeah. America's politics will really go through the roof in the next little while.
Yeah, because going back to what he had, Tallarico had said, it was all about Lyndon B. Johnson and the Great Society.
Yeah.
And the current regime of Trump has definitely eroded that, the Great Society.
Oh, I think a lot of Americans realise that. Mm. But
it's about time they woke up.
Yeah, they've been in slumber for how long?
Yeah, but I say, this is where money in politics. Here he is, we have a candidate that shines compared to the other candidate, and 70 million American changed a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, and I'll give you an example in comparison. Our general election, we spent about $12 million total on all parties last election. And they spent, what, $120 million or something, up to $120
million. Yeah.
On a primary, which isn't even the general election, just to choose.
How much of that spend nationwide would be interesting.
Yeah.
And this is billions.
This goes back to that Supreme Court ruling that you're allowed to put as much money in. As you like, and it's terrible because, as I say, money does count.
Yeah,
and we've seen that in New Zealand. The Nats got 8-1, I think, outspent the Labour Party by 8-1 or something. They got
something like that. Yeah.
You know, so money is a big influencer because you can put out more TV ads, you can do lots more.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've got one positive.
This is
a real positive in my view. Auckland.
Yeah.
The Auckland City Rail Link is opening on Sunday, the 13th of September. And finally, and it was a, oh no, I just had a wet dream. It was a dream of Len Brown, who's the idea, and previous, of course, but he was pushing it in his electoral campaign to be mayor in 2010. So now it's 2026, and in a month's time, or nearly.
So this is the Auckland
City Rail Link. And basically you can go, we'll now be able to go in straight lines under Auckland City between the top of.
Oh, it's a subway.
Yeah. Mm. Right. Mm. It's huge. It's a huge thing. It's cost billions. And it's taken a long time. But they've been doing practice runs and everything else. If I was them, I don't think I would have done like how they open roads. I would just say, well, it's opening soon, we won't give a date, because you give a date and a time, it'll be inundated with people.
Yeah, it'd be a crush.
Yeah, I would have just said, it's going to open that week sometime, and just, did it on a weekday and let people get used to it.
Well, it's a triumph for public service, isn't it?
It is. And Doug Meyer-Rumson and people like that, who had more, seemed to have more vision. We had a lot
more vision back in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, so that'll transform Auckland.
It's come the same time they were cutting services back on the Te Kuia too, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
There's been talk of reducing
the talk of it. But rail's the future. If you want to increase populations, you know, rail is how else are you going to move people?
Yeah, you rather large volumes of people and cargo.
Yeah, and we haven't got the Star Trek thing yet of transponding them through twinkle dust, and we've got to go by train or car or bus or whatever.
You think they would have looked at cities in Europe who have public transport?
Yeah,
subways, buses.
Yeah. Well, let's face it, I'm an advocate of, like, really, there should be a high-speed speed rail link between Auckland, Tauranga and Hamilton.
Mm.
It's where all the population is, in general terms, bulk of the trade. You know, if they had a tunnel for passengers, et cetera, you could. And they're fast, you know, the Chinese. They could probably go here to Auckland on a high-speed rail in what? 20 minutes?
Mm.
You know, they go 300 kilometres an hour or something, don't they? 260 or something. So, yeah. But anyway, I thought it's going to happen. But I think it'll be a mess by having an opening day. I think that's just leadership wanting to get a photo. They should have should have just not said anything, and next moment the doors open.
It'd be so embarrassing if it doesn't set off at a due date due to a malfunction or something.
Well, probably the chances.
That happened in the UK. They held this new nationalised railway service, and it came online at midnight, for half an hour after midnight, and then they had a message at 2:30 in the morning that the service had been cancelled.
Yeah.
On the same day it was supposed to open.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have. I think that's a mistake, but that's their business.
Yeah,
and
they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but he said you get a big crowd of people, and it's on a Sunday, so people will come and have a look.
Yeah.
They're going to crowd the trains. There's
big traffic everywhere.
Yeah, and
people like Wayne Brown and Luxon Levy Fizzogs, they're claiming that's all due to their work.
Yeah. Oh, they're all going to. And so that seems to be why they want to have an opening date. I would have introduced it.
What Mick mentioned about the failure thing, and this is rather a tragic one, in the 19th century when they opened a particular rail between somewhere, so I think it's Liverpool and something, there was an MP called William Huskinson.
Oh, right.
Who was actually run down and killed by the train on the opening day.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, oh, dear.
Was he standing on the tracks?
I don't know what he was doing.
Close view.
Yeah. This is 1830s.
Steam engine.
Yeah. Look up William Huskinson.
Right. Oh, okay, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. I came across this one on Wednesday. It's, Paris rejects Farage Navy plan. Subheading is France's Operation Fortress would be a violation of its sovereignty in maritime law. Yeah, because Nigel Farage and his spokesperson, Zaya Youssef, I thought this is someone whose family took advantage of the immigration system and now wants no one else coming in.
I've heard that before.
That's strange. Hey, brave him. It's quite
sad. Pulling the ladder up behind them.
So France's reforms plan would, for the Royal Navy to turn back small boats would be illegal after Nigel Farage announced this operation. Fortress would be the largest military operation in the English Channel since World War II, really. And he used the press conference yesterday to pledge to send a navy into the Channel to intercept all migrant boats should the party win power in the next election. Under so-called Operation Fortress, migrants would be detained, given food and water after being returned under escort on naval vessels to France or Belgium. France Interior Minister said this would be a violation of French sovereignty as well as a violation of maritime law and international law. Separately, as part of the measures put in place with the UK and the arrangements deployed at the local level, the Interior Ministry states that the number of crossings is down in 2026. Mm. So despite all the hoo-ha, all the rhetoric and send them back, the numbers have actually dropping.
But
Operation Foot. What is these politicians that see themselves as former Winston Churchill?
Well, it's nationalism.
See themselves as military leaders.
Yeah.
Tin pot, isn't it? The word tin pot comes to mind.
Yeah.
And Trump, you know, Farage, Trump, they're very much in that same mould.
But imagine the cost if they employed the Royal Navy to
Yeah.
You know, and if France and Belgium agree, what are they doing? They're going to sail a ship over the air, and they're not going to. They'll try. How are they going to? Who's going to attach the ropes of the ships to the?
Will they be allowed to discharge the human cargo?
Yeah. So what are they going to do?
French will go no.
So in the end, they'll have to get landing ships that they can go into on D-Day shores and that.
landing craft.
And have machine guns at one end and say, off you go. Yeah, that's crazy.
But the numbers are coming down. The numbers are coming down. And the problem is not illegal, it's legal immigrants.
Yeah,
of course it is.
Huge numbers.
And they haven't. As I say, they haven't got a good taxation system. They haven't got a good political system. So they have people come in. Are they getting enough revenue in for a good health system, for the housing system?
Yeah, because he spouts tax cuts as well. So he gets back to your point earlier on. If you have tax cuts, how are you going to keep schools and hospitals going?
Yeah, be efficient with your tax money. Yeah. But tax cuts, we should be saying, right, if we want hospitals for all, Medicare for all, housing for all, decent footpaths and roads, etc. Okay, how much do we need? Yeah. And we have to get
tax cuts is putting more money in their pockets.
Of course. Yeah, that's the rub. They
tell people that this is all for the greater good, and it's not, and people believe them.
And these people who tell them that, tax cut, they don't pay bugger all tax anyway because they happen to have their equity in somewhere else.
In the Virgin Islands.
Offshore accounts.
We know what they're like.
And instead of saying, we need to have everyone to pay their fair share, social services.
Yeah. Do you pay your fair share, or do you, or don't you?
Indeed. How are we going for time?
That's me anyway.
Yeah, okay. There's a few other things that have been mentioned in the news. Increases in unemployment and underemployment among 15 to 20. There is an article about that, and
it's 5%, over 5%. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on a par with what happened 10 years ago.
And let's face it, the Nats are desperate. The government is desperate to try and get those figures turned around before the election.
Yeah, they've already been doing it for the last few years.
Yeah, and maybe it's been manipulated already, so they will do it. I'm not sure.
But that ties in what Craig said, because this is an article that appeared on Friday. The first parents told to support sick teens as rules tighten.
Yeah.
Benefit cuts should strip payments from ill or disabled 18 or 9-year-olds. Yeah. I.e., this is Upston again, thinks that families should be supporting his kids.
Mm.
And you think, perfect world,
But could I stretch that? She's saying that, families are better off, should bring up the kids, and you can argue that. But she's better off. Why is she claiming a benefit for accommodation on a house she bought for Parliament? Isn't that the hypocrisy,
And she says, this won't be means tested. Yes, it will be means tested, because you're going to make people jump through hoops to qualify.
Yeah.
And it's going to put extra stress on those individuals and their families. Mm-hmm.
Then that brings us to this one.
Right.
4 in 10 Kiwis feel worse off financially than they did a year ago. So you can couple that with soaring power bills and financial pressures on households.
Meanwhile, people like Upson are pocketing half a million in housing subsidy.
Life's good for them.
They turn around and say, "We've got to save money," but you're busy lying in your pocket.
You know what it's about. It's what.
And of course, it's all perfectly legal.
They're not doing anything.
But morally bankrupt.
That was the same. I remember the comment made by Willis pre-election 2023. We know how you feel.
No, you don't.
They never have.
Yeah, and the cost of living crisis still remains.
Yes, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah. So they've been in power for nearly 3 years, and they have not done anything to actually alleviate that.
But they appeal to people's greed and self-interest, and that's
terrible. If you vote for us, we can line your pockets as well.
And you'll be all right. Never mind those brown people over there.
They're basically buying people off. They use tax cuts and then the rebates on property, all that stuff.
I've heard a bit of a positive though. Right. Well, Fred, we had those positives about the CityLink and the Michigan primaries. The president of Mexico,
Shaiborne,
she's pledging housing aid for 12 million families.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. She. I think she's doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, she's taken.
That's certainly an ambitious target, 12 million people.
Yeah. Yeah, she was sort of a.
I hope she's successful.
Oh, yeah, well, I hope so.
Who was the guy before her?
Oh,
And he was quite a socialist and did a good job. And Mexico's got violence.
And he got kicked out, didn't he?
He just left. His term was up. He appointed her. Well, when you say appointed,
he recommended her.
And she got elected. And she's done a good job.
She certainly stuck to her guns against Trump.
She is like Al Sayed.
Yeah.
An intellectual. I think, was she a scientist or something?
Yeah.
Physics or something?
Something like that.
A smart lady. And the other one that I picked up today is the dangers of AI going rogue.
Oh, I saw that in the paper too. Yes.
Yeah. Dangers of AI going rogue.
Is this artificial insemination or the other one?
Chapter 47.
Yeah, they were doing tests and it sort of infiltrated somewhere else.
I saw that.
So the AI hacked into someone else's.
Broke out of its confines or something. Oh, isn't it always amuses me because they talk about AI and what is it called?
Artificial
intelligence. Well, when I was young and I was a farmer's son, it was called AI was artificial insemination.
That's what Cliff Richard got went wrong. He called it insemination.
Did he? So please forgive us, folks, but I always grin when I hear the word AI.
Trouble is, it's oxymoron because it's artificial and intelligent.
Yes.
You take the intelligent left, what are you left with?
But we all use it. You go on, I did this morning. Oh, how many? What was the percentage spent in Michigan? It was AI that answered
me. What annoys me is I'll go Google the page and then the page will come and it's going, I'm thinking. No, you're not.
I was wanting for somebody to tell me something that didn't say it's AI, and I looked up. I put in Otto the Third. Otto the Third was a Holy Roman Emperor.
Of the and your what's the response?
Wikipedia. There was no AI in there at all.
Good grief.
There
were days when I'm almost a Luddite. 23rd, I just, you know, I just find the AI stuff really inane and dangerous.
It is dangerous, yeah.
Well, that's what Bernie Sanders is.
There's a repeat of the AI documentary on Studio B with Maria Ressa, it's a rehash, but it's still applicable now because she's worried about, okay, it has the potential for good, but it also has got the potential for serious, serious problems, depending on who's controlling it.
Well, look at Thomas Massie and that video of him going into a camera. Dangerous stuff.
But so the dangers of AI going rogue.
Or just been used by people with big, deep pockets.
Their motives.
Nefarious people too. Just hack into whatever.
Well, and you can transform. You know, we see it with often with something, but people are transposed into sexual positions or
whatever.
Going into a bank or just things to discredit them. And there's lots on YouTube now of nature programs, and they're AI that use AI to help them with, and the pictures are all from anywhere. They're quite interesting, but
they're not really giving you a true account.
They've just grabbed it and to form a little mini doco.
That's true.
The veracity was.
On AI going rogue, I think we'll go rogue as well because we're finished right now. And you'll catch us on our podcast and on www.freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.